song that we just sang, there is a scene in Revelation 21, and in my opinion, has not endured because of its melody, rather because of its timeless message. It compares two cities, the city of Galilee and the dead city, contrast two different attitudes toward life. The Sea of Galilee is fed by mountain streams from the north, which empty into that body of water. Unger's Bible Dictionary says that the lake is from 80 to 160 feet deep and is abundant with fish, and its waters are blue and sweet. It empties into the Jordan River, which waters a valley to the south. It is joined in its course going south by four or five smaller streams, or as they're called in the Bible, wadis. They combine to pour fresh water into another large sea. But in contrast, the Dead Sea, which receives the Jordan River, does not empty into anything. It has no outlet, but it is relieved by evaporation. Often the evaporation is so great that it forms very heavy clouds over the sea. Due to this evaporation, the sea is very bitter. Water is nauseous to taste, oily to the touch, and it leaves upon the skin when it's dried a thick crust of salt. There is a sea which day by day receives the rippling rills, the streams that spring from wells of God or fall from cedared hills. But what it thus receives, it gives with glad, unsparing hand. A stream more wide with deeper tide flows on to lower land. There is a sea which day by day receives a fuller tide, but all its store it keeps, nor gives to shore nor sea beside. Its Jordan stream, now turned to brine, lies heavy as molten lead. Its dreadful name doth e'er proclaim that sea is waste and dead. In our first lesson in this series, Fundamentals of Christian Ministry, we noted that one of the fundamental truths which is vital to our successful living as a Christian is namely that we are blessed to bless others. Christianity is built on the principle of reciprocation. Blessings received, blessings given. Grace received, grace given. Love received, love given. And this principle is fundamental in every relationship. It's fundamental in marriage. It's fundamental in friendships. It is fundamental in business. And it is fundamental in our relationship to God. We also noted that the Lord teaches us that that reciprocation is twofold. Vertical, by praising, worshiping, and obeying God. And horizontal, by loving and serving one another. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, Jesus instructing his disciples regarding the use of the gifts that he had given them as he was sending them out on what we call a limited commission, said, freely you have received, freely give. It's hard to get much more fundamental than that, isn't it? At the very heart of effective Christian ministry is an understanding that we are channels through which God's love and grace are to flow into the lives of others. I want to ask you something. Do you think it's possible that we can become so fixed on receiving from God that we neglect our responsibility to give to others? Maybe even we're good thinkers. Now that's not Arkansas for thinkers. I meant to say thinkers. Maybe we think that thanking God is the way that we reciprocate to God for all his blessings. And maybe our gratitude has become a substitute for serving and giving. You see, true thankfulness is a motivation, not a destination. We spend a great deal of time teaching our young children to be grateful and thankful for what they receive. But when we truly understand it, that is not the end of what we're trying to teach them. Because ultimately, that gratefulness, that thankfulness, is to turn into a motivation for giving to others. What did God tell us to do with our blessings? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but he must work, that he may have have something to share with those in need. That's one of the primary motivations for which we as Christians work, so that we can help others, so that we can be a blessing to others. In Matthew 25, verse 40, he says there in that judgment scene, he said, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, what? You did for me. James tells us regarding the use of our material blessings, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. And then he tells you what those wrong motives are, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Do you think that because we're grateful to God that our thanking Him entitles us to stick it all in the bank and to spend or save it all for ourselves? Does that clear it all out? Does that launder it so that we can use it however we choose to without regard for what the Lord tells us in our life? But I want to take this a step further. I think our age of Christians is probably doing better with our physical blessings than we are our spiritual blessings. Have we become dead seeds in regard to our spiritual blessings? Has it become optional for us to share the good news of God's grace with others? Is there anyone here, and we just sang it a few moments ago, and it's pretty obvious that not many of us are real familiar with that song, Make Me a Channel of Blessing. You know, it occurs to me, and I'm not a hymnologist, we do have one, but I had some observations since I've been around for a long time. We used to talk and sing a lot about our Christian responsibility. And we don't do that so much anymore. Think about that a little bit. We used to talk about going out and sharing the gospel with others. We used to talk about it among ourselves. It used to be part and parcel of our life in some way. I'm not saying that, I'm not looking through rose-colored glasses and saying everything used to be perfect and now it's not. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that there's been a shift. And we don't talk much about responsibility anymore. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready His service to do? Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those that are lost? Have you urged upon those who are straying the Savior who died on the cross? This is a song that we used to sing very regularly. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling for Him? Have you spoken the word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? We cannot be channels of blessing if our lives are not free from known sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. And the refrain said, make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing. My service, blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. Now let's get down to making an application here. Are you a channel of blessing to others in your life? And I want to tell you where I'm going, where I want to go with these lessons. We have a number of lessons that are coming up in this series, and then my purpose is going to be to try to help you identify the ministry are ministries whereby you can serve others effectively and bring glory to God. We're going to be talking about different ministries. And that ministry that's yours, or those ministries, whatever they may be, is going to involve serving others. And so I need to say to you, if you have no desire to serve others, you're sitting in the wrong pew. That's how we serve God. The word ministry or minister means to serve. There is no ministry that does not serve. And every one of us are to have a ministry. If you don't understand and accept the concept of reciprocation in your life, you're never going to be effective as a Christian. You'll be a dead end for the rest of your life. Dead end sign, when you see it, means what? There's no outlet. simple message that I want to get across in this whole series of lessons, and to make an application to help you find your channel through which you become a blessing to the lives of others. And I want to set the stage for this with Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 8. And I'm not going to read it all. Brent read it a few moments ago for us. It was a little bit lengthy reading, 8 verses. But he starts out, and I want to ask you, what one thing does Paul point to in verse 1 that is to be the primary motivation for our serving others? I urge you, brothers, therefore, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. And by the way, Lord willing, someday before too long, we're going to have a series of lessons on worship, New Testament concept of worship. And one of the things we're going to find out is one of the synonyms for the word worship is service. Service. We like to talk about worship, and we have something in our mind when we talk about worship. But it may be a lot simpler than what we have in mind. It says, in view of God's what? God's mercy. Let me ask you a question. Has God been merciful to you? Really? Has he? That means you're not going to get the bad things that you deserve. Has God been merciful to you? Boy, when something bad happens in our life, we squeal, don't we? And we scream. We don't think about all the times when we deserve to have something bad to us that it didn't happen to us. The hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of times, many of which we never knew anything about. And then one time when something difficult comes in our life, then we get angry at God. The next question in verse 1, Paul calls for us as Christians to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. To what does he refer in verses 4 through 8 that helps us understand what principle is to be used to apply this concept of offering yourself as a living sacrifice? You see, he tells us how to do that. In verse 6, he says we have different gifts according to the grace given us. That means every single one of us has grace gifts. God has given us talents and abilities. Every single one of us. And as you look at them, and I'm not going to read them all, but he gives you a list of some of those gifts. We read them a few moments ago. If you'll look at these, every single one of them is to be a channel of blessing to others. It is the way that the things that we have received from God, that we in turn give those out effectively on God's behalf as ambassadors of Christ in a dark world to have the effect on the life of others that God intended for it to have. Remember our song, There Is a Sea, which day by day receives the rippling rills? It talks about the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. It's a story of two lives. Two totally different lives. The difference between the two is not blessings received, but outlets. Both receive blessings from God. Good, rich blessings from God. But one had an outlet to give blessings, pass those blessings along, and another one didn't. The third verse that we sang reminds us of the supreme gift that God gave us, and it asks, what shall it be for you and me whom God's good gifts obtain? Shall we accept for self alone or take to give again? For he who once was rich indeed, reminds us, laid all his glory down, that by his grace our ransom race should share his wealth and crown. That's our purpose in life, folks. And if we're not fulfilling that purpose, then we are not fulfilling the purpose for which God created us. And if we're just receiving those blessings for ourselves, if we're just a recipient of those blessings and we don't pass them along, then we're the Dead Sea. Are you a recipient of God's mercy and God's grace? Are you a Christian today? Do you have a consistent outlet in your life through which you pass along God's blessings to others? Or have you become spiritually the Dead Sea, receiving and receiving and receiving and growing spiritually stagnant and dead and just getting your ticket punched? God has incredible blessings He wants to give you that will immeasurably enrich your life. But in order to receive those and for those blessings to have the effect that God wants of you, to have peace and security in this life as well as in the life to come, you have to renew your purpose for living. And that is to be a blessing to others. It truly is more blessing